Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Anthony and Joe.
Hello, friends. I'm here with my favorite co-host, Pastor Joe Brannon. Joe, how are you? We're recording this in February, and it's cold here. What's the weather like where you are?
Yeah, we're recording it during a soon-to-be blizzard here in Oklahoma. It's 12 degrees right now, Anthony.
Wow. So are you going to be making snow angels out in the yard, you know, flapping your wings?
If I try to make snow angels out there, I'll probably end up being an angel.
Yeah, that sounds cold. Well, brother, when we release this episode, it's actually going to be in April. On the first day of April, which is going to be right in the middle of Holy Week and the coming celebration of Jesus's resurrection. So I know that's a big deal for any believer, but as a pastor, I'm just curious, what are you going to be emphasizing for your congregation during this time of year?
You know, Anthony, we all love Easter. We love the resurrection story and everything. It's absolutely remarkable. But the two things that I typically try to focus on and emphasize during Holy Week is mourning and freedom. Jesus understands our pain and loss. It's all right to mourn, but we also have such freedom in that new life in Jesus's resurrection.
Mm. Yeah, and that freedom is not only a freedom from something like we've talked about. It's not just a freedom from sin, but it's a freedom to something, to relationship, to a junior partnership with our Lord Jesus by His Spirit. And that really gets at the heart of what we're talking about today. In this episode, I'm going to interview Pastor Dyshawn Mills about the role of mentoring in a church's flow of discipleship. And Joe, I know mentoring has had a significant impact in your life, not only as a mentor, but also as a mentee. Anything you'd like to share about your mentoring experiences and how they've helped form you as a disciple of Jesus?
Yeah, mentoring, Anthony, from my experience of being mentored, was a way of life. Several people spoke truth into me, including you, Anthony. There was a season we were out there in the Carolinas, and you and your wife, Elizabeth, spoke a lot of truth into me and Megan. And from my experience of being mentored, I have had the opportunity to also mentor others, doing life together and speaking truth into them.
Well, that's the beauty of mentoring. Because, you know, thanks for what you said, but to me, mentoring is always kind of a 360 dynamic, because I share what I have, but you're sharing what you have. I'm learning from you, you're learning from me. That's a true partnership, and I think that's really what Dyshawn is getting at in this episode. Really appreciate your insights, brother. It's a great way to launch into the conversation with Dyshawn Mills, and I hope all of you enjoy this episode as much as I did. Hello, friends, and welcome to the latest episode of GC Podcast. This podcast is devoted to exploring best ministry practices in the context of Grace Communion International Churches. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and today I'm blessed to interview Pastor Dyshawn Mills. Dyshawn is the lead pastor of the GCI congregation in Boston, Massachusetts, and along with his wife, Africa, they're on a new adventure. They'll soon be moving and planting a new GCI congregation in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I must admit, Dyshawn, it's a little bit warmer than Boston, which you might be looking forward to. So thank you for being a part of the podcast. And our focus today is on a mentoring program that you launched called The Orchard and what it looks like to disciple people who enter that program. But before we get to that, you were recently named and minted as the new coordinator of Generations Ministry, GenMin, the program in GCI. And I wanted to ask you this, what has you most excited through this program about discipling emerging generations?
Well, Anthony, let me first say I'm so happy to be on the podcast. Thank you for all you do, and I'm excited to have this conversation. And thank you for the opportunity to talk about a program that's very important to me and I think could be a blessing to other people. About discipling emerging generations, I first want to say that Christians in general should be passionately committed to discipling emerging generations. This should be something that is a given First of all, we want to follow and be like Jesus, who made disciples. And so we should too look to make disciples. And he had a special relationship, and he gave special importance to children and youth, and said that they're a vital part of the gospel story. And so for that reason alone, we should be excited to engage emerging generations. But personally speaking, when I think about Gen Z in particular, more than any other generation, I believe Gen Z is connected to a wide diversity of people. Their networks consist of a wider slice of the human experience. They're engaging with more information than any other generation. And so the prejudices, the political divisions, the sectarian religious conflict that divide our society, for them, many of those things just do not compute. They don't see it. They don't get it. And for the most part, they are looking to find a better way. And so I think if a movement within Gen Z can catch hold of a faithful, liberating Trinitarian theology, this generation can usher in an unprecedented time of unity in the Christian church, I believe.
Man, that's wide in scope, and that's a big ask for all of us, you know, in terms of discipling these emerging generations like Gen Z, the youngest among us. But that gives me hope and excitement that, you know, in that diversity, not only can they learn from us, but what I heard you saying is we can learn from them and,
yes,
and better
absolutely.
Understand where they're coming from. So we're going to circle back to that later in the podcast to talk maybe what that looks like. But for today's purposes, let's go ahead and focus in on the orchard, and especially how that fits into the Faith Avenue, which is really our focus in GCI in 2021, Faith Forward, the Faith Avenue. So for those who have never heard of the Orchard, what is it and how does it relate to discipleship in a local congregation?
The Orchard is a project-based mentoring program that helps ministry leaders discern their calling in God and gives them the skills to be effective. So participants are taught what it means to participate in the ministry of Jesus Christ. All human ministry is part of Jesus's ministry to the Father. So we teach participants how to join with that and find their own place in it, while also working on a plan for a project in their local congregation. So it breaks down to 6 learning sessions, customized homework assignments, and one-on-one mentoring is all that someone gets when they participate. It takes about 6 months to complete the program, and everything happens online. So we have participants from one coast side of the U.S. to the other. And the program is for those who are interested in ministry but may not know where to start. They're interested in getting connected and doing ministry, but they still are not sure what interests them or what they could do or what they'd be good at. So it's a good way to explore that. It's also for those who may already be engaged in ministry, but have not been able to get formal ministry training. And seminary might be a big step, even though we have a great seminary connected with GCI in Grace Communion Seminary. But that might be a big step, a big commitment, and they need something intermediate. So the Orchard is for folks like that as well. And the way it fits into the Faith Avenue, because in the Faith Avenue, we're focused on discipleship, which we at GCI define as the disciplined habit of thinking and acting in Christ. It's about becoming more like Jesus as we spend time with God and live out our faith in a community of believers. So we believe that each follower of Christ has received a special invitation to participate in the work of Christ, in the work that Jesus is doing. And so the way that the Orchard fits in, it fits right in with that Faith Avenue of helping to make disciples, helping people learn better how to participate in the life and work of Jesus, to not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word.
You know, you mentioned the word participate. We're participants. And there may be people listening to your voice and they're excited about this 6-month project-based ministry called The Orchard, but they may think that's a huge leap. What would you say, let's take it to the pastoral level. Who would a pastor think is an ideal candidate for The Orchard? What does that look like? Because sometimes people sitting in the pews may think, well, I don't know if that's really for me, but maybe a pastor can invite someone. So who should they be inviting into The Orchard?
Yes. So I should first say that The Orchard is a partnership between Grace Community International and the Anastasis Center. My good friend Mako Nagasawa and I developed this. And one thing that I would say is, we're always open for conversation. So this is an area where we'd love to talk to people about it. But what we're looking for is someone who is passionate about Jesus and passionate about living out their faith and is curious about how to do that. Is curious about how do we do that? How does Jesus speak to the circumstances that are happening in our world right now? How do we minister to different types of people? The Orchard is perfect for folks who are asking those questions and thinking along those lines, because in The Orchard, we that's what we wrestle with. We wrestle with how do we live out our calling and our faith in Christ. So I think one thing that I'm also encouraging pastors to think about is think about the ministry leaders that are there in their congregation and what supports they are receiving. In many cases, we have ministry leaders that have stepped into roles, and God bless them for it, but we have not really provided them with any equipping beyond conversations with the pastor. And sometimes that could be really good, but I know for myself, I would love to have some help pouring into the people that are in leadership roles, because the stronger they are, the stronger and healthier our congregation will be. So with that team-based pastor-led approach, just thinking about what supports are we given at each level of our leadership structure and whether or not we're investing it with them adequately.
We talk a lot about, as you mentioned, team-based and pastor-led, and how that gets worked out through the ministry of the three avenues. And we've been talking about the faith avenue. Let me ask you this, Daishan, as it relates to The Orchard. Could The Orchard be a great space to equip Avenue champions and Avenue teams and to do their project-based ministry together? Could you speak a little bit to that?
Absolutely. And we've adapted The Orchard to be more conducive to projects like that happening. So with the homework assignments, so between each learning session, we're giving people things to read and to do and to plan. And so we have organized the homework assignments along the three tracks, the three avenues. So the faith, hope, and love avenue. So if you're an avenue champion, you can explore the content of your avenue. So if you're, say, a praise and worship leader, you can explore the content in the hope avenue and immerse yourself not only in how to do ministry and how to be effective in it, but how does it speak directly to the work that you're doing. So we're really encouraging Avenue champions to take a look at The Orchard and see if this could be a way that not only they can improve their skills, but connect with people who are doing the same work, create themselves a little network of folks that they can turn to help them even beyond The Orchard.
And I know you're not just talking about theory here, Daishan. You've had cohorts move through The Orchard already. Could you speak to what you have seen the benefit be to the participants as well as the local congregation after completing The Orchard?
Sure. So we've seen many different projects come through The Orchard. One is near and dear to your heart, Anthony. We had Elizabeth come through and she did a project where she learned how to come up with a plan to engage her community. And she did an incredible job. We've seen other folks come up with plans to engage young adults and youth. We've seen other plans come out to have a curriculum, a small group curriculum around a particular theological topic. So we've seen lots of different ways that people have used the Orchard. But what is incredible is that all of that planning and all that thinking goes to directly benefit the local congregation. They're going to be implementing it at the local level. So when a congregation supports a leader in coming to the Orchard, you are giving yourself a gift, because that person is going to come back with skills, training, and an actual plan to make something happen. So it has benefits for both the participant and the local congregation. And one more word about the participants. What we hear more than anything else was that what the participants get out of the Orchard is not so much the project plan, which is good. They have a plan and that's great, but they learn about themselves. How do they hear God's voice? How to discern, not just for today, but 10 years from now? How do we learn and learn to be sensitive to his voice and to rely on it and depend on that voice? And so many of them say that that is the biggest takeaway, because more than anything else, the Orchard is a program that focuses us on Christ and focuses on God and participating with him. So I think that's another big benefit to the program.
All right. So I'm 50 years old, right? And I'm liking what I'm hearing. I'm sitting in the pew. I want to enhance my skill level to be a more effective disciple maker and participant in ministry with Jesus Christ. Have I aged out of the program? Like, can I sign up at 50?
Absolutely. And first of all, you are 50 and fabulous, Anthony. I just
please
that
go on.
Needs to be said on the airwaves, right?
We have it captured, recorded.
That's right. So yes, there is no age limit. We are actually some of our most the people who've gotten the most out of the Orchard have been older. And I'm not going to say their age because they would not like me to say that on the podcast, but they have been older. So no, you cannot age out, and each experience is individualized. So like I said, not only is the homework individualized, but Mako and I will be mentoring each person. So we get to sit down and talk about your stage of life and what's going on with you and what you need and what you're thinking. So no, you're not too old.
Okay, that's such good news. So I'm ready to sign up, and I know there's going to be a massive price tag to this. So how much does it cost to be a participant in the Orchard?
So my favorite word is free.
Free?
Free.
Like free, free.
The Orchard is free. And I'm actually going to get a T-shirt that says, if it's free, it's for me, right? Because that's how I want to live. My Jesus has set me free, and I like free things. So, yeah, all joking aside, the Orchard is free for all participants. We want folks to – we don't want there to be any barrier to participate in this program.
Oh, that's good. Maybe another barrier, if I were listening and thinking, ooh, do I want to do this? It's free. That's good. But you said 6 months, and I'm a busy adult. I've got children. I got a lot of things going on. How much time are you talking each month that I would need to dedicate to be successful in this program?
It's pretty doable. We're thinking about folks exactly like that, that may have children, may have jobs, may have a lot of things going on. So there's one learning session per month outside of the first one. So we do an intensive for the first session, but every session after that is 2 hours in the evening. And then you have a coaching session every month that's 1 hour. So as far as sort of coursework or on screen time is 3 hours per month. And then with the homework assignments, they are clearly outlined, and it's your project. So you can devote as much time as you want to it. But those will probably run you another hour or so. So we're thinking a maximum say 4 hours per month for this incredible program. So I think it's worth it.
I think this program's a gold mine. So I'm a regional director of Pastors in the Southeast. Pastors in the Southeast, sign people up. I just think this is going to be so helpful to have someone else come alongside your ministry leaders to help them more effectively serve in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so if someone's listening, they're like, yeah, that's me. I want to be a part of this. How do they get involved? What steps do they need to take, Dashaun?
Sure. We are starting our next cohort. It's going to begin on March 13th. So we are in the process of putting the application online now. So it's going to be on the GCI website under on the resources webpage. And so once you go there, you'll see a blurb about the Orchard and the application will be there. You download that application and you just submit that by the deadline. You can also reach out to me directly, and my email is dishon.mills@gci.org, and I would be happy to send you a copy of the application. So we want everyone to participate. We make the application pretty straightforward and easy, but it also will make sure that this is something that you really want to do. And those who successfully complete the application, they typically get in. We haven't had to reject anyone, so no one needs to be too nervous about the application process.
No, this is fantastic. In terms of the way that I learned Dashaun, it's when it's in a classroom setting and I can hear what others are doing. That helps me generate ideas and hear best practices. Even though it's online via Zoom or whatever tool you'll use, I'm still getting to see and listen to others. I just think this is an excellent program. God bless you. Thank you for getting it launched. And I cannot wait to see how God moves through it to equip the saints for the acts of ministry. And talking about equipping the saints, you know, we talked about your work with Gen Men. I've known you for a few years now because you're getting older like me. And because we've been doing this for a while, I've seen you at work and you have a gift of working with all ages. But I've seen you work very effectively with young adults and youth and children. So what advice would you give pastors and ministry leaders in GCI? What advice would you give them about engaging and discipling young people in today's atmosphere?
Sure. The sage on a stage, quote unquote, sage on a stage approach does not work anymore. Much of what we've done in the past to reach children and youth does not really work for Gen Z. More than any other generation, I believe, young people do not care what you know until they know that you care. Mm-hmm. And so one of the ways that we need to engage Gen Z is from a relational standpoint and truly listen to them. Really listen to them. They are living through an incredibly scary and turbulent time, and yet research shows that they're still holding hope in the midst of this. So they're scared and unsure about the future, but they're also hopeful. But rates of trauma and suicidal thoughts are especially high in Gen Z. So we as pastors and leaders, we have to focus on being before doing, right? We can't be just creating programs and then hoping that they come and wondering why they don't come. And, you know, we have to stop all that. We have to engage in a conversation. We have to build relationships and then trust in the Holy Spirit to grow ministry out of that, to trust God that he's going to bless that as we seek the hearts and we seek to connect with his children, his Gen Z children. So I know a lot of pastors, they have a heart for young people, they care, but just we need to take a step back from what we've known and say that was wonderful for our time, but something different is needed for today.
I heard you loud and clear, brother, that it's relational.
Yes.
There's nothing that's going to replace the FaceTime, the together time, the life on life. And it's focused on being. And yet there are some congregations within our context that have young people in their church, and they're developing those relationships, but they also may be thinking, okay, there is some doing aspects of that, especially in the faith avenue, in working to disciple them in the ways of Jesus. So what advice and recommendations would you give to pastors and churches who are looking to serve and disciple young people in the Faith Avenue. What does that look like?
Sure. So I'm advising congregations to create a middle space for whether or not you're trying to reach out to youth or young adults. Those are two different groups, and it's going to look differently depending on which group, but to create what I'm calling a middle space, a space that can be shared, where adults from the congregation and young people can meet in that space together. And that space is probably not the Sunday meeting, right? I think a lot of times churches say, well, we just need to do outreach and then get kids to come to our Sunday church, Sunday service. And I think that model is not going to work. And that's why GCI has even been getting away from that term outreach. We've been using the term mission and witnessing a lot more. So I think to create that middle space and what it looks like depends on three things. The first is purpose. So God's unique purpose of that congregation discerned, right? Discerned together as a congregation. Who has God made that church to be? What special gifting has he given that congregation? What gift does that congregation have to give to the world, right? So just any kind of outreach or crossing of any barrier or cultural boundary, right, needs to start with that kind of discernment, I believe. You have to discern what you have to give and what you have to bring. So purpose, and the next one is situation. The situation is the assets, the needs, the challenges, and the opportunities facing the youth or young adults, right? What is going on? What's their situation like in the community where you're in? What's it like being a young person in that community, right? And the last one is their culture, the cultural rhythms of the young people, where and how they gather, right? Whether they gather on their own, right? How they best express themselves and how they best receive messages, right? How they identify themselves, all these things together can help. And so at the intersection of the purpose, situation, and culture is sort of the sweet spot of ministry, of where that middle space should be, and will inform the format of that middle space. So I know of some congregations that have created a mentoring program for young men, because in their community, many of the young men did not have a positive male influence in their life. I saw another congregation for young adults. They have an annual concert that features local young adult Christian artists, dancers, and spoken word poets. And they help them form into a community, and it's very hip, right? And some congregations are doing neighborhood camps, which is a great way to engage youth and young adults. And we would love to see more of those pop up, by the way. And of course, there's the Orchard, right? So there's no single strategy about where that middle space, what that middle space looks like. But I think congregations need to discern their purpose, situation, and culture to find the format that works best for them.
Mm. That's really helpful. And what I'm hearing you say is contextualize it based mm-hmm. on your church and who you are and your purpose, and also finding that out and naming it along with the young people, really listening to them. And that is coming through loud and clear. And I have to think, Daishan, because I know you and know a bit about your story. And like a lot of us, it has twists and turns as it relates to this denomination and your walk of faith with Jesus. How has your own story helped you pastor and engage and mentor the emerging generations?
Sure. I had many people who loved me and cared deeply about me and poured into my life and were a big blessing to me. But for the most part, throughout my childhood, I did not feel that the adults in my life that were charged with helping me learn about Jesus and grow cared about my story. I don't really remember ever being asked to talk about my story, what I was experiencing, what life was like for me. They did not care. I felt like they didn't care about what I thought. And it left me, because they never contextualized my faith for me, it left me completely unequipped to live like Jesus. I mean, honestly, by the time I was, say, 18, I knew more about Noah than I did about Jesus, right? And not only did I just not know him, but I didn't really see him as relevant to me, right? He didn't connect to my story. Our stories didn't overlap and intersect. And even as an adult, you know, I felt like there was these preset molds of ministry and ways of doing things, yeah. Right? Everything was just so set. And if you didn't fit into one of these molds, you were just out of luck. If you had some different ideas, sorry about that. You know, if you saw things a little bit differently, or you want to bring more nuance to something, that didn't work. And so, so much of what my experience was in church was controlled by the pastor. The pastor was an authoritarian man. They were the ultimate judge of everything. And so churches, in my view, were super, super orderly and super, super irrelevant. They were super timid, right? And they didn't have any skin in the game when it came to the life that I was living, right? They didn't have a stake in what I was experiencing and going through. And it's no wonder that not one of my friends that I grew up in church with have any kind of relationship with the congregation. Me sitting here talking to you on this podcast is truly a miracle, because out of the dozen or so folks that were in my crew growing up in church, none of them are following Jesus. And that also impacts my story, because I don't want that to ever happen. I understand why they aren't. And it's just by the grace of God that I'm here today. So I believe the Holy Spirit is wild. I believe the Holy Spirit is described as a wind that blows wherever he will blow. And I believe that he's given each person gifts that need to be cultivated, and they take the church in a new direction. Every person is key and important because they have the ability to do something and present Christ in a way that's going to reach people that we could not reach otherwise, that they could see Jesus in a way that we could not see him otherwise. And so I really like team-based and pastor-led, because I believe it helps our congregations to be wild in the same way the Holy Spirit is wild, where every person feels like they belong, they're connected, that they're being poured into, and they have an opportunity to participate in the work that Jesus is doing. And I think that is what our communities need so much. They need a church that is going to meet them where they are, a church that's not holed up in the four walls. In a recent sermon, I asked, is the church a bunker, a place where we hide out until the coast is clear? Or do we go into our communities, and do we serve them? Do we seek to be a force of good and change in our communities? And that can't happen if people are forced to fit into preset molds. We have to think differently. We have to do better. So I think my experience growing up has affected in a big way my approach to being a pastor, Gen Men. Even the Orchard is an exercise in wildness, right? It's trying to cultivate that righteous, Holy Spirit type of wildness within the church. And if we could do that, I believe that the church can transform the world. It's already done it. I think we could do it again.
Brother, you were preaching. I almost wanted to take up an offering. It's so good to talk about the fact that the youth are the here and now of the church. And I know you're passionate about that, as am I, that we see them as relevant, needed, wanted, and have meaningful ways to contribute to their church. It's as much theirs as it is mine as the pastor. Yes. And they have an absolute role to play. And, you know, thinking about what you said about church being orderly but irrelevant, you know, it's easy to also think, well, the teens haven't talked about any particular issues. So they're doing fine. And when I say particular issues, I'm talking about things like politics and race and evil in the world. I mean, these are not easy subjects to discuss, but you better believe it's on the mind of these young people.
Yes.
And here's what I've learned. If the church is not discipling these young people, culture's all too happy to co-opt that and do it for us.
That's right.
So let's be the church and let's make disciples as Jesus invited us to do. So in these confusing times to be alive, and I know all of us could say we were growing up, they're confusing times, but especially now, because of your story, and by the way, I thank God for your story and your journey, as wild and wonderful as it was, because in God's economy, none of it's wasted, and you're here right now doing what you're doing. It's beautiful, it's brilliant, it's godly. But what advice would you give to our listening audience who realize there's young people in our midst, and we want to love them well, we want to serve them well? What does it look like, Daishan, to engage young people in these hot button topics right now?
Yes, thank you. And thank you for this excellent question. This is an especially difficult topic because the issues of politics, race, and evil have infiltrated the church. And we have to be honest about that. First and foremost, as people who are listening to this podcast, we have to be honest about where the church finds itself. I'm saying capital C. Or in America, issues of racism, prejudice, racialization, white supremacy have found their way into the church. Political divisions have found their way into the church. Gender issues have found their way into the church. So we have to first not just be chugging along, thinking that everything is fine. What we see in Acts is multiple times the church wrestled with an issue and wrestled with what's going on and what they're thinking. And they sought the direction of the Holy Spirit to point a better way forward. And somehow we've lost touch with the fact that the church needs to continually discern what God is saying in this moment. And so much we come to the table thinking that we already know, you know, it's right when we have to wrestle with these things and take a hard look in the mirror. And that is why, as you said, many of our young people, the millennials and Gen Z, are looking outside the church because either they can see the ways in which the church has been corrupted by these outside influences, or even those that are not are silent. They're not talking about it because it's not politically expedient, or it could cost them money in people walking away. And I understand, but we have to understand that that's where many of our millennials and Gen Z are looking outside the church for answers. That's why they're doing it. They're looking to folks outside the church. So I think for the people, church leaders and church members and folks that are outside of those generations, we have to educate ourselves, man. We have to look at multiple perspectives, right? We can't just think, you know, we can't get our next steps from MSNBC or Fox News or the folks that talk there. We have to actually engage and see what Jesus would say about our context. We got to do our work. We got to read some books. We got to watch some documentaries. We got to do our work. And then for the Gen Zers and millennials, to my brothers and sisters in those categories, I would want to bring a message of hope and encouragement that God has always had prophets speaking to his people. From Moses to Deborah to Isaiah, he has always had those that he has raised up in times of need to speak perfectly into the context of the culture. It has always been true. Even at the darkest times of the church, God has always reserved for himself those who would speak his truth to his children. And that is true today too. God has not abandoned you. He's not left you without guidance in these turbulent times. He's come to you. And there are modern prophets. There are those Christians who focus on Jesus and point the way to unity, peace, and love, who do not flinch from evil, but name it and show how Jesus has overcome that. And we need to give those voices priority. I know you're listening to a lot of folks. You have more information at your fingertips than any other generation in history. But I would advise you and I would encourage you to give priority to the prophets who are still speaking to us. No matter what topic you're looking at, there are some who are going to lead you to Christ, who are going to point the way to unity, who are going to point the way to love, and point the way to peace. And so I want you to adopt some holy discernment, that you give God space to speak to you. Give him space to speak to you in this moment. Mm-hmm. And I believe that, Anthony, if we could do this, we're going to see incredible things happen. And I'm hopeful that it will happen, that we'll start to have real conversations about how we end some of these problems once and for all, how we end racism once and for all, how we end sexism, right? I believe the name of Jesus is above every name. And if the church comes together and we seek this out, I believe the Lord will bless us.
Yeah, it's what a privilege, Daishan, to be heralds of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm. That good news has come to the world, that he truly is the overcomer. He is truly the prophet. He is the pastor who is speaking. He is the word of God. And we know in him there's resolution. And so he's always inviting us to participate in this kingdom ethic.
Yes.
Always, yes, inviting us into the truth, because we know it's going to be settled eschatologically in the end. But yes, he's inviting us to participate in it in the here and now. And that's, in my heart, that's what I hear you saying. Let's be a part, amen, of the kingdom business here and now, especially to young people. That's such a good word. And you can't get around the conversation, right?
No.
You can't just pray it away, all this stuff away. Like, we still have to have conversations. Yes, we pray. Yes, we seek Jesus. But yes, we enter into the conversation with the people, right, God has given us to serve. Well, that's brother, right, this has been so helpful. You've given us a lot to chew on. I'm so grateful for your voice, your competency, your experience that speaks into this. And now we want to have a little fun. This is kind of what we do, yeah, on GC Podcast. I get a chance to ask you 7 rapid-fire questions.
Okay.
And I'm inviting you to say the first thing that comes to your mind. Keep it clean. And, okay, but I think you're ready for this. So let's go. Fill in the blank. When I dance, I look like what?
A boss.
I'm going to talk to your wife about that and see if we can get confirmation.
You said the first thing. I don't know.
That's right. What is? Yeah, go.
Canceling after this. I don't know.
What is your least favorite food?
Ooh, frozen peas.
Oh, wow, that's a shame. On a scale of 1 to 10, how hip are you and why?
7 3/4. My kids help a lot. You know, they keep me straight, but they're going to college soon, so I expect that to dip.
Dude, they're not just helping you, they're carrying you. Okay, next question. Yankees or Red Sox?
Red Sox, what? That's a horrible question. Red Sox, man.
We'll ask your friends up in New York. All right, the last book you read.
Jesus and John Wayne.
Ooh, I've heard about that one, yeah.
Excellent.
I haven't read it yet. Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset.
Mm. And finally, the first word that comes to your mind when you think of your mom?
Beautiful.
Mm. I don't know your mom well. I've met her. But everybody raves about her. What happened to you?
She's awesome. I think that she is phenomenal. Like, when I say beautiful, it's who God is as he shines through her. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah. Amen and amen. Brother, it's also our tradition to wrap up our time with prayer. And again, I thank you for participating. This has been awesome. So would you mind saying a closing prayer and pray over our churches and pastors and ministry leaders in GCI?
Absolutely. Lord, we want to thank you that you have come to us and you've stayed with us, Lord God. You've pitched your tent in our midst, Lord. And that we're not in our situations alone, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a young leader, whether you're an older leader, Lord, you have come to us and you're not leaving us alone. And we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. We thank you that we can turn to him and find all that we need. And I pray that as we seek to develop leaders and we seek to reach Gen Z and millennials, Lord God, that you would go before us, that you would equip us for it, Lord God, and that you would cause us to celebrate that the victory we already have in you, Lord. It's so easy to watch the news and get daunted by what's happening. But Lord, you've told us to cheer up because Jesus, you have overcome the world. You've already made us victorious. Now, Lord, just teach us how to live that out. Teach us how to walk in it, how to be in it, Lord God. I ask a blessing over everyone who's listening that you would cause new life to spring up in their midst, Lord, that you would cause new ideas and thoughts, that you would bring people into their ministries, Lord, that would have a fresh perspective, Lord God. Not that new is always better, Lord God, but we want to know that we're hearing from you. We want to know that you're speaking to us, Lord God, so we can listen and obey. I ask you to bless this podcast, Lord God, that you continue to let it to preach Christ in practical ways to those who listen to it, Lord. We thank you for all you're doing, Lord, and we're just so grateful to you that you've invited us to participate in this incredible adventure with you. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, Joe, as a pastor, what inspired you and challenged you from my conversation with Daishan?
Well, the thing that inspired me was reaching children and youth in a current age. When he was talking about the sage on the stage, that's something that spoke very loudly. He also said focus on being rather than just doing, having engaging conversations with the young people and truly listening to them, building, focus on building that relationship. And honestly, Anthony, the thing that I had the most challenge with is when he said that you're 50 and fabulous.
Brother. Remember when you said mentor speak truth? My man Daishan spoke the truth. You need to receive it and repent of your ways, brother.
No, but you know, the challenge for me is on the other side of that coin. From the inspiration, Daishan mentioned being missional with young people and meeting them where they are, creating that middle space. When he talked about that middle space, I was like, oh, bro, that's good. And he talked about purpose, situation, culture. Let's face it, Anthony, this Gen Z that he was talking about, they think different. They input information completely different. And so what does that look like as the church, as we try to engage and build those relationships with a generation that is very different? Not bad, just very different. They think differently.
And you would know. I mean, you're living this life, right?
I got
three children at home. So you are in the middle of this, in that middle space for sure. Well, the overall theme in GCI in 2021, Joe, is faith forward. And the emphasis is on the faith avenue, of course. And the faith avenue is about the church's flow of discipleship outside of the Sunday worship service. And so one of the things we want to do in GCI is to make sure that we're offering tools to pastors and Faith Avenue champions regarding church discipleship. So here's what we want to talk about. A new resource, a Faith Avenue Tools Bundle, is now available. Joe, will you tell our audience about it?
Yeah, first of all, you can get this resource and many other resources for the Faith Avenue and all the other avenues at resources.gci.org. And I just had an opportunity to kind of glance through it. Like you said, this is a new resource, and it looks to be a great tool to help bring clarity and focus for those leading in the Faith Avenue. There are questions in there to help guide you. There are suggestions on how to develop some of the aspects of the Faith Avenue. And it seems like it's going to be a great tool. I look forward to utilizing that tool.
Joe, thanks so much, brother. Friends, we really appreciate you listening to the GC podcast. And if you like what you heard, and I know you did, give us a rating wherever you're listening to this podcast. It really does help us get the word out and for others to join the conversation. So until next time, keep living and sharing the gospel.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.